Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. I'm Jennifer Ben-Brahim. Everyone has a role to play. Those are the words of today's guest, Carl-Oskar Bohlin, Sweden's first minister for civil defence since 1947. Bohlin has become a key figure in Sweden's evolving security landscape as threats across Europe continue to rise. The Nordic country of nearly 10 million people decided to join NATO in March 2024, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Grey zone aggression, meaning covert actions that fall short of open military conflict, is on the rise. And countries along Europe's eastern flank are on the front line, from cyber attacks, disinformation and drone sightings. As the war in Ukraine enters its fourth year with no end in sight, countries like Sweden are urging European allies to take civilian preparedness seriously. Carl-Oskar Bohlin, thank you so much for speaking to us on France 24.
Thank you for having me.
And a reminder for our viewers that you belong to the moderates, that being the Liberal Conservative Party, just like your Prime Minister, Ulf Kristersson. As I mentioned in the introduction, you are the first civil defence minister since just after World War II. What does that say about the state of security in Europe?
Well, it says something about this government's ambition of rebuilding the Swedish total defence concept, which encompasses military defense and civil defense, and I'm responsible for civil defense. And civil defense is actually denoted as everything that is not military defense that is required to prepare Sweden ultimately for handling the consequences of war. So it stretches across the entirety of society, and we need to pick up speed in that work.
You've actually brought with you an example of some of the projects that have been put in place by the Swedish government for preparedness. Can you explain to us a little bit about this pamphlet?
Yeah, so this pamphlet, it was sent out to every Swedish household just about a year ago. And it speaks to the fact that every Swede has a role to play in the Swedish total defense concept. So this is a basic information for individual contingency planning. That is a prerequisite for that every individual can partake in the total defense effort, so that ensuring that people who under normal circumstances can take care of themselves can do so also under very harsh circumstances, and thereby not becoming a liability to society, but instead being able to partake in the defense effort.
Now, this is also a scheme being promoted by the European Union in case of such things such as natural disasters, cyber attacks or even armed conflict, really following the lead from Nordic and Baltic states such as Sweden. In your opinion, is it essential for preparedness to be rolled out on an EU level?
I think it is, yes. And it is important that preparedness have the perspective of being able to handle the entirety of the threat scale. During the strategic timeout after the end of the Cold War, the Western Hemisphere at large mainly focused on peacetime crisis contingency, and we now need to link that into being able to handling the consequences of armed conflict and being sure that society ultimately can funnel support also to the military defense in order to also and thereby make the deterrence credible by showing that we have a prudent planning that can work in the entirety of the threat scale. And I think absolutely that EU has a role to play there. NATO, of course, has a role to play there. But it comes down to that every member country, every ally needs to do their homework in this regard.
I have to mention, there's been some criticism from, for example, far-right parties accusing the European Commission of sowing fear with this strategy, even going as so far to call it as war hysteria. There's also some moderates in southern Europe saying that the survival kit promoted by the Commission is going too far. There are even Spain's socialist foreign minister, José Manuel Albares, calling the whole strategy unnecessary. What do you say to people who say that preparedness is a form of fear-mongering?
Well, so far, the only war hysteria in Europe has been represented by Russia. Russia launched a unlawful war of aggression against Ukraine, trying to do a full-scale invasion, the first full-scale land war since the end of the Second World War in Europe. The war-mongering come from Russia, and it has been clear during the last two decades that Russia is provoked by weakness. So that poses the question to the Western world, how do we build up our deterrence? And it is obvious that it is a necessity to do that in order to stop Russia from reaching its military and political goals.
What has been your reaction so far in Sweden to these preparedness strategies?
In general, the reaction is positive. I think that we, from the government that I represent, have a very transparent way in how we address the public with regards to how we perceive the geopolitical threat posed in our vicinity and the measures that needs to be taken in accordance to that. So I think that people in general are in favor of the rearmament and the rebuilding of the total defense concept in Sweden.
Something else that's now on the table in many European countries is compulsory military service. There have been several countries have brought back conscription, such as Sweden. You brought it back in 8 years ago, and we now see a percentage of 18-year-olds face being drafted. But there's, of course, compulsory civilian service in certain sectors, such as electricity supply. Just recently, Germany has also agreed to a new military service plan to boost troop numbers. Right here in France, it's still very much up for debate. Do you think it's reasonable to expect civilians, citizens, to actively contribute to Europe's security?
Well, I think that every ally or every member state must deeming by themselves which kind of recruitment system they want to have in place. But from a Swedish perspective, we can see that this is very successful way, a very efficient way of getting motivated young people to being drafted into military service, but now also to a larger degree into civilian conscription, where we are building out that for example the rescue services, for the power grid, drawing conclusions from Ukraine, where we can see that specific sectors during an armed conflict is under an enormous strain and therefore need more personnel, and we want to have that prudent planning in order, just to build that system on forehand.
Should this be EU-wide?
Well, as I said, I think it's reasonable that this is up to each member state to decide how they should design their recruitment system. But I think that many European countries need to reflect of how do they secure that they have a prudent system for recruiting people into military service and to civilian functions that is also necessary in the event of an armed conflict.
You've previously said that there must be no weak link in the chain. What did you mean by that? And do you think that, you know, other European countries are doing enough to support not just Ukraine, but the eastern flank?
Well, so what I meant is the quite obvious fact that we have antagonists that is constantly trying to probe and find out what our weaknesses are and trying to exploit them. And it is important, as I mentioned earlier, that we have a preparedness, a comprehensive work on preparedness that addresses the entirety of the threat scale, and thereby building a chain without weak links, ensuring that we are not being subjected to and vulnerable to hybrid attacks.
In March just last year, Sweden joined the NATO Defensive Alliance. That's after two centuries of military non-alliance. The countries also provisionally aimed to raise defence spending to 3.5% of GDP. That's by 2030. And this is really Sweden's biggest rearmament since the Cold War. You mentioned this reference earlier. Mm. Do you think that Swedish people feel safer under this NATO umbrella?
I think they do, and I think that people in general are in favor. We had support from 6 out of 8 parties in the parliament for the NATO accession. So there's a broad consensus of that this was the right step to take, and we can already see that Sweden is contributing to the alliance. We're a security provider, not only by our geography, but also by our standing forces and, of course, our defense industry.
And actually, your colleague, Defence Minister Pál Johnson, recently said that EU countries need to strengthen ties in NATO without the United States and invest in their own military capabilities. I'm interested to know, do you think that European security can no longer be guaranteed by just the United States, especially with an unpredictable Trump administration?
Well, I think it's completely reasonable that Europe takes the largest share of the security burden. The need for hard security in Europe must ultimately be borne by European countries. Of course, with a strong transatlantic link to reinforce that deterrence, to reinforce the allies of the Western world. But it is obvious that Europe needs to step up its game, and Sweden is putting our money where our mouth is in this regard. And as you mentioned, we're heading for 3.5 of military expenditure until 2030, the biggest rearmament since the beginning of the Cold War, actually. And thereby, and above that, we're also building up the civil defense, the total defense, to make our deterrence credible.
Thank you so much for speaking to us today on France 24. That was Carl Oscar Bohlin, Sweden's Minister for Civil Defence. And to the viewers at home, thank you for watching. Stay with us on France 24.